We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
We're back.
Bob, that was your cue for the showdown.
It's a showdown.
For God's sake.
Bob.
You've missed the cue. We're all waiting here with bated
breath. Charlie, could you do that again?
That.
Play it again. Play the false again. Alarm, we were
Why
interrupted
are people
here.
People walking into our studio.
They walked into
the
studio and disrupted
Paul,
everything.
Paul
who?
Paul Rasmussen. He always has an open invitation all
right.
to come in here.
Bourgeois?
Not during the show.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is a Monday edition of the Showdown featuring Joe Starkey, Paul Zeiss, and here we go. Beginning with the Penguins last week,
False.
Paul
Zeiss. I'm sorry, I was practicing.
Quick answers. We got a lot of stuff to cover here.
True.
Kyle Dubas essentially said they are going to stay the course. So, Paul, I ask you this. Of the Fab Four, is there any chance that any one of them is not here next year?
Absolutely no chance at all. It's very clear they're not going to try and trade him. They're not going to ask him to move their no-trade clause. They're not going to do anything to try and change the makeup of this team and then wonder why they missed the playoffs again.
I agree with every syllable, half syllable, and quarter syllable Paul just uttered. But I would ask you this. What's the course? What course is he on? Trying to win while trying to also to secure the future while trying to...
That's a good question. What is the course? The course is keeping the guys who are here and trying to surround them with people to get them into the playoffs.
I'd put a 5% chance on Malkin or Carlson. A 5% chance if one of those guys was agreeable to one place in particular. I would certainly approach him. I don't think he would.
Goalie situation. He made it sound like Nedeljkovic is the odd man out because he is an unrestricted free agent, and he doubled down on Jari. So, Paul, next year, is it Jari Blomqvist, Nedeljkovic, no Jari? What do you think is
it's
going to happen?
It's going to be Jari Blomqvist, but it shouldn't be. It makes absolutely no sense that you're keeping the guy who was not good enough and getting rid of the guy who at least gave you some chance to win down the stretch. So it's going to be Jari Blomqvist, but it should be Blomqvist with Ned as his backup.
Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, Bob, I think could take care of this. What if they did something like the Steelers did, where they said,
clean out the room?
Yeah.
Bring in all new people.
Just bring in all new people. It'll probably be Jari. I hope it's Blomqvist. I hope it's Blomqvist and someone else. I'm not convinced he won't trade Jari. I'm not convinced of that, if he could find a taker. Dubas screwed up the goalie situation in Toronto, and he's 0 for, well, he's, you could say he's 1 for 2 here, but Nedeljkovic, you can find,
right.
You can find that guy in a lot of places. He Dubas went out and visited Jari, wanted to make sure he was making the right move, and it turned out to be a horrible move. Although Jari, when asked how he was this season, said, I thought I was pretty good.
Not the answer you'd be looking for. Next question concerns goaltenders, but not here in Pittsburgh, Paul. Boston beat Toronto the other day handily, and Jeremy Swayman, a surprise starter, only because he's not the Vezina winner from last year, he got the start. Montgomery, their coach, has alternated all year. He split time with his guys. He says his plan is to do it again. So tonight in game two, would you go back to his plan of going with Ullmark, or would you stay with Swayman, who made 34, 35 saves and was terrific in game one?
Wow. That's a difficult. I think I go with the guy who won game one. Now, I understand the idea that, it'll disrupt the equilibrium of the team because we alternated, but it's the playoffs, man. And if he's feeling it against your opponent, that's the beauty of the playoffs. You're playing the same team, you know, and the thing about it is he's feeling it against you might as well ride the hot hand until he proves otherwise.
I agree with every syllable and half syllable Paul just uttered. You have to.
He won't.
What are we doing here?
I guarantee you that Ullmark will be in goal tonight.
Swayman owns the Leafs, by the way.
I understand that.
He's been great against them, and he just beat them in game one. And like I think I was watching Bissonnette and those guys talk about this yesterday. You lost in the first round last year. You lost. So you better savor every win here and get out of the first round, or you might not have a job if you're that head coach. This guy plays great against this opponent and just won you game one. I think it would be crazy to go away from that.
We'll see. That's
there
gonna
is
be
a quick update on that. Jim Montgomery, the Boston Bruins head coach, says his starting goaltender tonight has two vowels in his first and last name. So it's not really an update, but it's a head coach trying to be funny.
What does that mean?
He's not going to tell you.
Both have two, yeah. I was trying to think about, which one of them? They both have two vowels.
He better win. That head coach better win.
Omark is a Vezina Trophy winner. He was outstanding last year, and he was outstanding this year.
Until the playoffs.
Okay, but they also did the same thing last year. They alternated. So I'm wondering, what it's going to be fascinating to watch. Let's move along. Steelers, first two picks, 20 and 51. I don't need names. I don't expect you guys to come up with names because it's hard to do. But I'm just going to give you a general question. What two positions will they address with 20 and 51, Joe?
Will they or should they, Bob?
Both.
Okay, which ones will they address? I think probably center and receiver. Which ones should they? That depends on how the board falls. We talked about a couple different scenarios with defensive linemen, with the kid from Georgia at tight end. My God, if he falls, wouldn't you take him, Paul?
Yeah, we talked about that last week, the tight end.
Brock Bowers.
I would say they're going to go tackle in the first round. And I wouldn't shock me if the right guy is around. They go center in the second round. Won't shock me if the first two picks are linemen.
PFF suggested they trade up for the West Virginia center in the second
Frazier,
round, which I would do in a second. If they can come out of this, Bob, would you take Brock Bowers if he somehow slips to 20? I would sprint to the podium.
Yeah, that could change my mind.
Sprint!
That could change
my
mind.
I would tackle people on the way to the podium.
All right, more likely for the Steelers to do, Paul, trade up in the first round or trade down in the first round, because you can pick up some additional picks, and there's a pretty good allotment of what you need in both of those categories, extending late first round into the second. What would you do? What do you think is more likely for that to happen?
I think it's more likely they trade up. I think they know that they need to get a impact player. And they need to get somebody who's ready to play right now, who can play right now, who they can, sort of plug in. And, I mean, there's a number of guys that are going to be on the board at 20. Maybe if they move up to 17, 16, they make sure they get one of those guys. Moving back, I don't know that they necessarily get somebody that really has an impact this year, and I think they know they need impact. So I think it's more likely they trade up than back.
I think it's more likely they trade back. Yeah, who's up there that they really would desperately want to get?
I think the guys they desperately want to get are going to be gone unless they do trade up, and they may, it costs a lot to do that.
I mean, we're trying to configure this in a way where they can address all their needs, like with their first two or three picks. They have too many. So they must believe that too, or I would think they would. Like, man, we have a lot of needs to address here. Maybe we can move back and pick up an extra pick or two. I think that's more likely. What about defensive line? I was talking with Crowley and Dickerson about this. Is that not a major concern for you? Ogunjobi's not that good. Cam Hayward is getting older.
Yeah.
Benton looks real good. And then what?
And then guys have fallen fat. You look at DeMarvin Leal. He took a step backwards. They've had a lot of guys who've taken a step backwards in that position. They need help there. I don't think there's any question about that.
To me, if you're not good on the defensive line, then nothing else matters behind that. Nothing else matters.
We've heard all kinds of reports on this, but I want to get a percentage chance it may happen. Paul, to you.
What Brandon, if Byron Murphy's there, Bob?
Well, we'll see. Brandon Ayuk, his agent says he's not demanded a trade. But let's just say the Steelers are interested. And they need help on wide receiver. What chance would they make a trade? And how much money would it take to sign him?
Well, I mean, it sounds like 20 to 25 million a year.
Which is the market. He's 25 years old and already established. He's like Patrick Queen. They got him for the same. He's a young guy who's established.
Is the question,
what percentage chance of that happening?
I somewhere north of zero and south of two.
Okay.
I just don't see. It's not the kind of move they would make, and I think it's a lot of money. They're feeling, this is supposed to be a really deep draft in receiver.
And they believe they can draft them at any round.
They believe that they'll be able to address receiver by getting a couple receivers that aren't going to cost them $25 million. So I would say they should take the opposite approach, because, again, you bring Russell Wilson in, you're in win-now mode. You're in win now mode. You know what I'm saying?
And they need help in the wide receiver category.
Exactly.
Big time, immediately.
Well, what I just said, I think, factors into this is they're not going to be able to take care of all their needs in the draft. They're not. Once you start getting to the fourth, fifth, sixth range, then you get lucky, you may get somebody. But guys playing right away, probably not. So they're going to have to take care of something outside of the draft. And this is something that they could do. It's only money. The cap's going up, right, in historically large proportions. And, yeah, Paul's right, about $25 million. Debo Samuel signed for nearly $24 million for that team. I would do it. I would trade for him and sign him. And, by the way, I'm not putting anything past the Steelers these days. Seriously.
Right.
They could do anything at this point. It wouldn't surprise
they've
me.
They've gone totally against what they normally would do. All right, next question. Paul, I need two names. Starting quarterback week one, starting quarterback week 17 for the Steelers. Injuries not withstanding. No injury. Just who is the guy?
The starting quarterback week one for the Steelers is Russell Wilson.
Week 17?
Russell Wilson. I mean, I think he's gonna be fine.
Joe?
Russell Wilson. Although I'm probably about 60% on him. I recommended that they get Russell Wilson right after the season. So I'm bullish on him. But would I be surprised if he melted down? No. Both things can be true. Right?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right. Bro. NBA home teams in the playoffs. Game one, 8 wins, no losses. NHL team, game one, home team, 6-0, 14-0. First time in 8 years that's happened. Does this make you appreciate home ice and home court better, or do you still think it doesn't matter?
They went 14-0, all the home teams?
All the home teams.
I've always said this. Home field advantage does matter on some level, but it's not the be all end all. And I think, you know, if you'd rather play at home than on the road, I get it. But I still don't think that it's, you know, the be all end all. I think teams have shown you can win on the road in the playoffs.
What's the question, Bob?
Does it make you think more seriously about home ice, home court, what it means? A lot of people have.
It feels like
years,
it means way more in basketball than hockey. Way more.
Okay.
I'm not sure why that is. If officials get influenced more by the home crowd, or just the fact that there's less parity in the NBA. Like, I think it's way more predictable in the NBA going into the playoffs. Who's going to win? Who's going to be there at the end? Who's going to be in the finals? I mean, if I told you right now it's going to be Boston, Denver, I think I'd have pretty good odds that that's what it's going to be, right? So I think the home teams are just better positioned in the NBA. You know, it's easily predictable compared to other sports. There's no home ice advantage in hockey in the playoffs. That's basically been proven.
Okay, one other question hockey related, Paul. Watching the New York Rangers-Washington yesterday, I got the distinct feeling that my frustration level went up higher watching Washington because I don't think they're capable of doing anything against the Rangers. They can't score. They don't have enough. Does it frustrate you more that the Penguins let this opportunity slide by, knowing that Washington's in there ahead of them?
Yeah, absolutely. And here's the thing. Do you want to know the difference? One night in early March, when the Penguins found out that one of their guys got traded and they didn't want to play anymore because it hurt their feelings and they were upset, and they got blown out of the building by the Capitals. Because if they'd have played that game really well and won it, in regulation, they would be in the playoffs. And sure. Then it wasn't bad enough that they let that happen. It took them 10 games to recover from one of our teammates got
and Dubas mentioned this the other day.
They traded our guy. He's our friend. They went 2-7-1 in the 10 games, starting with that Capitals game in the next 10 games. That is what's frustrating, because once they figured out, hey, this Michael Bunting guy, he's not chopped liver, he can actually help us, all of a sudden they started playing like a playoff team. But it was too late. So, yes, it's frustrating.
I agree with every syllable Paul just said. What was the question, Bob?
Just the frustration level as a Penguin follower, knowing, again, my belief is they would give New York a much better series than what I think Washington
is. No, they wouldn't. I'm not convinced of that.
You don't
anymore.
Think they would?
Even though I said
Washington doesn't have much to offer.
Come on, the Rangers would skate circles around this team. Their power play stinks. Their goaltending stinks. Their bottom
That's
six
not my
stinks.
Point. My point is would they give them a better matchup than Washington?
Yeah, they'd get swept, but probably by fewer goals.
I disagree. All right, one final question. It's a golf-related question. Today, after a rain-suspended final round, Scottie Scheffler did what you expect him to do. He won again. So he has 4 wins of the last 5 regulation starts for him, including the Masters. The only one he didn't win, he finished second. He's made $16 million during that time. Nelly Korda on the LPGA has won 5 consecutive events. Goes for 6. It's never been done before. Which is more impressive?
Nelly Korda, and I'll tell you why. Because in the women's field, they got all of the best players.
Good point.
And Scottie Scheffler is playing against some fields that are watered down. And that's not to say that Brooks Koepka and all these guys, but if those guys were all involved, it'd be the fields would be a little bit different than they are. Scottie Scheffler is doing really good work. Obviously, he's a great player, but he's beating what I would call watered down fields. Joe?
I agree with every syllable. Just uttered. I wanted to mention something here, Bob. SB Live, National High School Girls Athlete of the Week. Our friends, the Duffels, and Lily Duffel is their player for Char Valley. Unbelievable. Catcher, this kid would hit a home run like every time she came up, and she's hitting them this week. Vote for her. I think, is that the situation here? Yeah, they have a thing where you can vote for her. The National High School Athlete of the Week for the week of, 4/15, so for this past week. Vote for her from Char Valley. Will you vote for her, please, Bob?
Sure.
Paul?
I don't even know what you're talking about, Joe. I'm so lost. Yes, I will. I'll vote for yes, I will.
But which is better, Joe?
Where do I find
which one
out?
Is what?
Scottie Scheffler or Nelly Lily Korda?
Scottie Scheffler or Lily Duffel? I'll go Duffel. I don't know, Bob. You know, I still don't care that much about golf. I just play it.
What's Korda's older sister?
Tennis player. Dad. Yeah,
what's the older sister's name?
Nelly and I forget. The first name of
yeah, she, so the older one, he was her caddy,
right?
At, when they were at Oakmont for the, you know what I'm saying?
You ever play Whiskey Creek?
No. So anyway, hey, we'll talk about Whiskey Creek in a minute. So anyway, we're at Oakmont, and I wanted to do just a nice story about the Kordas. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This dude blows me off for an interview. Makes me stand and wait outside the
father.
The
dad?
Yeah.
The
dad
of
Peter
who?
Korda. Of Peter Korda.
Korda used to be a good tennis player.
So he was a great tennis player. So here was the thing. So I'm like, what is this guy's problem? I told him all I'm going to do is write a little story about, you know, him and his tennis career and how now his daughters are really great golfers. This was going to be a really positive story. So I looked him up to see if there was something that he didn't want to talk about, or if there was some weird thing that he thought, you know, me as the press guy was going to talk, because after about 15 minutes, I was like, all right, screw you. I'm going back now. I'm writing the story without your quotes, right? Here, Peter Korda, if you remember, got suspended for like 2 years for using steroids. He like won the French Open, or he won one of the majors and one of the Grand Slams, and then he got suspended for. So my story went from this nice feel-good story about Peter Korda to and you know, his daughter being really good at golf and how they're at Oakmont this week, to me writing about how hopefully the daughter is not like the dad who's a cheater. I just ripped the dad to shreds in the story.
Do you guys want to play golf today?
I'd love to, but I can't.
Call in sick. Paul?
Call in sick. You got to pick up your daughter, you said. Thanks to the good beach store.
Yeah, I do. Well, I do. I could probably swing it later. It's probably best to let it go.
On the Corn Ferry Tour.
Thank you, Bob, for a wonderful showdown.
You're certainly welcome, Joe. You dog, you.
You're you're quite a man. Coming up, who would we pick? I'm going to give each of these guys their chance to make the Steelers' first-round pick, and I'd be very interested to hear what they have to say. Meantime.
By the way, do you see the quotes are starting to float out from the Omar Khan, Mike Tomlin.
No, I can't wait for those.
Pre-draft. There's already one that has me irritated, so that'll be a good thing.
Hey, Bob. You think Geno's in Jerry to back up for you?
Do you think that's a viable question, Bob?
What question?
Tino Sinceri, maybe, as a Fields backup?
Hey, Joe. Go to commercial break.
You dog, you.
Dog, you.
Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line. There's never a fee unless we get money for you, the personal injury law firm, and that's their motto. Listen to Cook and Joe every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And we're finally putting our voices to good use. The Fan 5-Alarm Marathon takes place June 6th and 7th. We raise funds for dozens of local volunteer fire departments. We'll broadcast live for over 26 hours from the Green Tree VFD. Want you to come out and support this great cause. To register your local VFD, go to 93.7thefan.com. Fan 5-Alarm Marathon presented by Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union. Brought to you by Firehouse Red Ale, North Country Bureau. Oh, who's this?
It's Ozzy Osbourne's Mr. Crowley. Your life
to me seems so tragic. Bob, was Ozzy Osbourne a deserving member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class?
Should have been, yes.
He is.
Should have been earlier.
He's in there.
He should have been earlier.
I'm not a big fan. I'm not a big fan. I know Paul is.
Ozzy, absolutely. But again, here's the thing. I'm a child of the 80s. Okay. And those of us from the 80s, the era of hair metal brought us all into becoming metalheads. Groups like Ozzy and Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, and then along came Metallica. You know what I mean? The bridge for us were the Motley Crues and the Poisons and the, you know, all the hair bands.
Yeah.
So if you're a child of the 80s, you probably really do appreciate and love Ozzy. And
little known fact, Bob was a voter for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and he tried to get Engelbert Humperdinck in, and they took away his vote. You remember that, Bob?
Engelbert Humperdinck, yes. It was terrific.
All right, the Steelers pick. Are you ready? Let's go to a couple of the picks that are being made right now. PFF has Troy, is it Fontenot? From Washington, big tackle. Ryan Wilson has the Steelers going from Graham Barton, the guy who's played a million positions but would be a center for them. Ray Fittipaldo has the big tackle from Washington going to the Steelers in his most recent mock draft. Kabali has J.C. Latham from Alabama, an offensive tackle. Let me ask you guys. And I do want a name, Bob. I do want a name with this.
Okay.
Who would you draft, you know, assuming the board goes your way here and this guy's available, with the 20th pick? You go first, Bob.
I'd go Mims.
Amarius Mims.
I like him.
You and Mulsey are on the same page.
I just think of all the people that realistically could be there or in that vicinity, he could be it.
Where are you taking a center then?
Hopefully Frazier, the guy in the second round. I'm going offensive line both rounds.
You're going to have to trade up for him in the second round. Would you do that?
Depending on what the cost would be.
How about you, Paul? First pick.
I would take either J.C. Latham, the tackle from Alabama, or I would take Tyler Guyton, the tackle from Oklahoma, who what I like about him is he's actually a right tackle. So, to me, one of those two tackles probably are going to be there at 20 when they pick. And I think what we need to do, though, Joe, is we're doing this all wrong. You understand that, right? So I'm going to do it the way I – can I do it the way I we should do this?
Yes.
Or at least that we're told we should do this by all of these – the cottage industry of experts?
Yes.
I would take Tyler Guyton because his arm reach is really good, and he's got a good left-handed
big hands.
And he's got arm extension, and his hips, they move just enough, and he's got that good foot plant that makes him a good tackle.
Here's what I think, and I like that.
Is that work?
I think there's bigger needs than tackle, and I don't think Dan Moore is good. Don't get me wrong. But I'm in a situation, if I'm the Steelers, where I have to look at that and say, can I get by with that given my other needs? I think my other needs right now are more important. They're more important. And again, I'm not a Dan Moore fan.
So you're looking cornerback, defensive line?
I'm looking center. They don't have a center.
Unless you believe in the flexibility thing that gives them
Herbig. I don't.
I don't, thank you for asking.
I'll tell you this. I think they're actually in position. Now, if a tackle happens to be by far the best player on the board, I'd probably do it. I think I'm taking the best player on my board outside of the obvious.
So that's not a tight end?
Not a
you would take a tight end?
Not only that, if it's Brock Bowers, who I'm looking at Ryan Wilson right now, has him going 14. Other people have him going to the Jets earlier than that. A lot of people have him going to the Jets at number 10, I think. If he were somehow on the board, like I said earlier, I would sprint to the podium and take him because he's essentially a receiver. There's your receiver right there. And I'm not so sure I'm banking on this whole thing that, you know, the Steelers magically come up with receivers all the time when they draft. So let's not worry about receiver until lower in the draft. I don't know about that. I really don't. If it's not going to be Brock Bowers, if he weren't available, then I would be tempted for a defensive lineman. If Byron,
really?
If the best guy on my board is a defensive lineman, I'm going there because nothing else I do on defense matters if you're not good up front. And I'm highly concerned about that. And I have a need at center that I have to address with one of my top two picks. I'm with Bob. I'd probably try to trade up in the second round to get my center. If it's Frazier, great. But if I can get the best defensive lineman on my board, if that's the guy, if Bowers would somehow drop, I would take one of those guys. But let's say Bowers doesn't. Let's say the other guy doesn't. Then I'm probably going going center there. I'm probably going Graham Barton.
So you don't necessarily think tackle is a problem?
That's a good way to phrase it. I do think it's an issue, but if I were making a list of my issues, center would be above that. Receiver would be above that. Defensive line would be above that. Inside linebacker would be above that.
Defensive
cornerback would be above that.
Inside linebacker? They just signed Patrick Queen.
I know, but they have another problem there.
What?
The other position. No, you're right. Inside linebacker. Forget about
that. They've got a lot. I mean, to me,
forget. Strike that. Strike I ever said it. Corner would be another issue for me.
Corner is a big issue.
But again,
I think you need a shutdown guy opposite.
The way they
want
to play offense, right tackle, to me, is the most important position they have, followed by receiver.
Right tackle?
Yes.
Then just keep Jones there.
They're going to move Jones to left tackle.
Keep Dan Moore there.
They're not good in – the whole point is trying to get Dan Moore out of the lineup.
I know.
Make him the swing tackle.
Okay,
and
so
get
they take a tackle. They're set at tackle. Then what do you do with center and receiver?
Well, it's funny you mentioned center because I think it's very, very clear they have sent – now, this is at least the fourth or fifth time that either Omar Khan or Mike Tomlin has made it very clear – that they think that Nate Herbig might be a legitimate option at center.
Then why did they try to sign the bill? Why did they try to sign Mitch Morse?
Because
bring him
I'm saying the exact. I'm looking for it right now.
Sounds like fallback position. Like this is what we
is,
have.
This was the quote from Omar Khan. Where is it at here? We have guys on the roster that have flexibility. We have options there, meaning at the center position. They continue to hint that they think.
Or make it known that they're really. They could be in a smokescreen. They've
done
that
a few. But they, you know, Mike Tomlin said something funny. He said they asked him about what he's doing, you know, pro days and this and that. And he basically said, well, you got exactly. I go there and I just watch a lot of players, but I watch players that I'm not interested in because I know you guys are all watching and it gives you something to talk about. I mean, come on, man.
That's why some of these press conferences are just there because they're kind of obligated to do it.
Well, that's a great question. So if I were putting in order Would I rather go with Nate Herbig at center? It's Nate, right? Nate. I get my Herbig.
Nick's
mixed
the
up.
Other side, right?
And still and address my tackle situation, or would I rather leave Dan Moore where he is and Jones where he is and address my center situation? I'd rather address the center. That's the
I think,
thing.
But
even if they go tackle, center, center, tackle, then what do they do at receiver? I guess third round?
You're going to have to go third round. Yeah, because it is a concern. They don't have a lot of depth there at all.
What about defensive line? Do you guys share my major concern about that area?
I think it's
area?
A major concern, but I don't know that you're going to solve it this year.
I think you
unless
can,
you do it in
I
the first.
Couldn't I say the same about tackle?
Yeah, but they're more available guys.
Unless you get a guy that is actually, unless you get a guy that's actually ready to play this year at tackle.
Yeah.
I would not draft a guy if I had any question at all. Does this guy, they shouldn't take a reach at all in the first round. They need to draft a guy who's ready to play, a guy they know is ready to play. Is it possible that guy could be a bust? Yes. But if you basically want to tell me that, they're going to take a reach on another Kendrick Green-like reach.
Yeah.
No. Go get a guy that you are drafting because you think this guy, we're going to put him at tackle from day one. We're going to put him at right tackle day one, put Broderick Jones at tackle from day one. We'll have Jones at left, this guy at right. Our line will be set.
With who at center?
Herbig, I guess.
Then it's not set.
I mean, again, the problem is you can't address every single possession.
That's the thing.
Every single
That's
position.
The thing.
Now, the thing about it is we're not even talking about this, but sometimes on draft days, there's some trades that are made. So maybe they make a trade for a center.
Sure.
You
that
know,
could happen.
Or they make a trade for a receiver, which I don't know that, because the guys that they would trade for all seem to be guys.
I'd still sign Tyler Boyd if I could.
Right. But,
would you?
Yeah, but they can do that after the draft and probably get them cheaper.
Yeah.
Which is what they're doing. They're holding out. They're waiting. And, these guys, as you start to get into the summer now, they start to say, wait a minute. I need a paycheck of some sort. So even though
you're running
out
of time, you take whatever's available.
Yeah, even though I wanted $12 million, maybe I need to go take the $9 million.
And I'm not sure that just because the Steelers draft a receiver, that guy's automatically a great pick no matter where they pick him. Some of the recent receivers they've taken, James Washington in the second round with the 60th pick, Calvin Austin, Mr. August, who they took in the fourth round. Chase Claypool never made it to a second contract here.
Yeah.
So just because they take a guy, this whole thing about, well, if the Steelers take a receiver, he's going to be good. They specialize in that. Yeah, they've gotten a lot of good receivers outside of the first round. They've also gotten some bad ones recently, right?
Yeah, there's no question. And you'd expect whoever it's changed. It used to be you had to wait to play. These guys need to come in and play right off the bat.
Are you guys with me that if Brock Bowers is on that board when they take 20, you're taking him?
I think it makes it very interesting, a decision for them. But I do like him a lot. I mean.
That would be just taking best player available.
Yeah. And fulfilling your need at receiver. Right, that's basically what he is.
It helps you. It helps you, yes, in that position. I wouldn't hate it. I still would like to see them get a tackle. It's sort of shore up their offensive line. But I wouldn't hate that because he's so good.
I want to ask you guys about the quarterbacks at the top of the draft and what order you would take these guys in, because there's a lot of intrigue. We'll do that coming up, top of the hour, 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. We'll also get into some Penguin report cards. We're going to hand out report cards. Professor Pompiani and Professor Zeiss are both going to help me with that. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. Spring's here, so are the deals at Sun Chevrolet, sunchevy.com. High is 60, sunny throughout the day. Let's talk a little bit about these NBA playoffs and what's happening here. The road to the NBA Finals has begun. And new customers on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge can go on their own playoff run with $150. Just place any $5 bet and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. Three-pointers made in a game, over-under point totals, first basket score, all of that. Dallas is a pretty good bet with two guys. They don't have anybody else, but they do have two guys who will go over, I think, every game in these playoffs. Just go to FanDuel.com/Starkey to get started. 21 plus present in Pennsylvania. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.